Let's stand on our feet a little bit. Good to see everybody. Good to be back. You know, I said earlier that I think sometime that when we get to rainy season, it rains on Sunday mornings. It's a test of your love for God. You know, because you will have to think twice. Am I going to church? Am I not going to church? You know, it just, I don't know why it happens like that, but you get to have rain a lot of times on Sunday mornings. You know, and you just have to know who you are and what you live by. What are your principles? What are your priorities? And make a determination of what you're going to do. Give him praise this morning. Magnify him. Exalt him. There's a song that's been on my heart all morning. I don't know if you know it. Unto the Lord be glory and praise. Unto the Lord be glory and praise. Unto the Lord be honor forever. Glory and praise. Be glory and praise. Unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Be glory and praise. Be glory and praise. Say unto the Lord. Be honor forevermore. I exalt. Exalt you this morning. We're grateful for who you are, grateful for what you do, grateful for the privilege, the opportunity to be gathered here this morning, grateful for those who are online also, grateful that indeed you always speak to us from your word. You bless us tremendously. I indeed ask this morning that you breathe upon your word, that it will touch our hearts even now and in the future. Let also the word be confirmed with signs following, miracles, and various manifestations and distributions of the Holy Ghost. To you be all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Go to Matthew chapter 24. And if I can have a little more volume, that would be great. Matthew 24. Hallelujah. Are you there? Good. Matthew 24, I read from verse 3 to verse 10. Thank you. Matthew 24, from verse 3 to verse 10. It says, Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming, and of the end of the age. Can I hear you say of the end of the age? So it's not just the sign of his coming, it's the signs of the end of the age. Basically, the signs of the times approaching when he's coming. Okay? It says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you'll be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3. It says from verse 1. It says, but know this. Can I hear you say know this? It means there are certain things you are not meant to guess. You are not meant to think might happen. But this is something that is certain. It's going to happen. It's going to be. Okay? So it says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. The word perilous means difficult, challenging times. So in the last days, perilous times will come. For men, or because men, will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Men will be boasters. They will become proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, that is stubborn, haughty, proud, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Actually, what I want to talk about this morning is what I simply tagged progressive backsliding. And I hope this rain won't cost me while up, because my throat was scratching. So it's called progressive backsliding, but can you hear me well? Okay, can I hear you say progressive backsliding? You know, back in the days, I used to be a dancer, even to a little degree competitively. I know many people don't know, I can't believe many of the things that I say sometimes, but I used to be a dancer in the days of break dancing. You know, I used to do all the break dancing. How many people know robotic dance? You know, so I used to be experts in some of those things. And of course, there's the dance that we call the moonwalk, made popular by Michael Jackson. The other name for the moonwalk is backsliding. You know, the moonwalk is also known as a backslide. And the idea is that, remember, this morning we're talking about progressive backsliding, not dancing. Can I have an amen? So we're talking about progressive backsliding. And the idea is that if you knew that dance step of Michael Jackson, where you are sliding, it's just you are going backwards smoothly and slowly. Can I hear you say smoothly and slowly? One of the things that is certain about the Bible is that the Bible has several predictions. And it's amazing how accurate those predictions, which we as believers will call prophecies, how accurate they have been over the centuries. Okay, so for instance, people have said that the prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus alone, You know, the prophecies about him, the prophecies were so accurate, even to the point of prophecies talking about what they will do with his clothes. And saying they would divide the clothes among themselves. You know that it's even as serious as the fact that there were prophecies, even the prophecy that we think is a major prophecy, was a big deal. The prophecy of the fact that he will be crucified on a cross. By the time that Isaiah and the rest were prophesying about the crucifixion, there was actually no crucifixion. Do you understand what I'm saying? By the time they were prophesying and saying that he hung on the cross, there was no hanging on the cross. Nobody was being killed that way. It was never done that way. It was something that was invented eventually by the Romans when they conquered the world. So Isaiah saying that I see that Messiah hanging on the cross was a big deal, because it's a case of, no, that doesn't happen. Do you understand what I'm talking about? And it said that there are at least averagely about 300 prophecies about Jesus alone. And for any single one of them to have come to pass in mathematics was almost impossible. The way they were predicted. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And yet they all came to pass just as the Bible said. So one of the other things you now see here as we start is that the Bible predicts certain things will happen in the last days. I preached a message many years ago. I called it, "Are you a fulfillment of prophecy? Are you a fulfillment of prophecy?" There are good and bad prophecies in the Bible. Are you a fulfillment of any of them? Of course, you should be a fulfillment of the good prophecies. But are you a fulfillment of the bad ones? You should not be a fulfillment of the bad prophecies. Meaning, when he's beginning to talk, Jesus was speaking in our first text in Matthew 24. And he says that, look, because lawlessness will abound. Because in the last days, things will be so difficult. There will be a lot of lawlessness. He said, then what will happen also is that the love of many will grow cold. If you look at that in the Passion Translation, it says the passion for God and for people among many people will grow cold. That is, many people will see that their passion for God will grow cold. Their passion for people will grow cold. Why? Because times are difficult. Why? Because things are hard. Why? Because these days is not easy and all of that. He said their passion for God and for people is going to grow cold. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy as well. Paul was writing to Timothy as a young pastor and was saying, look, in fact, historically, they tell us that Timothy was a teenage pastor. So he was a teenager, but he was pastoring a church. He had all kinds of people in the church. And Paul was writing him, among other instructions, he said, novice, but in the last days, men are going to become cold in their walk with God. Why? Why would the difficult times come? He began to list all of the things that are going to go wrong. And I double dare you to look at the list of the reasons he gave for why difficult times will come, and you discover that we are seeing all of those reasons around us. You know, all of those things are happening. People being traitors, people being blasphemers, all of those reasons, being lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. That is, that they prefer themselves. Anything about their own comfort comes first rather than the things that play or that serve their walk with God. So isn't it so that people now serve God only conveniently or when it is convenient? Back in the day, and it's not just back in the day, today people are still being killed in some parts of the world for being Christians. The question would be, how many of us will be able to stand, for instance, and not deny him if somebody held a gun to our head and said the only thing that's going to save you is for you to deny Jesus? How many of us will be that committed? You know, I think years ago, there was a man, if I remember right, he's late now. There was a singer, he sang in Yoruba, and he sang a song. He said, "Olorun se mi, mo fe gbe bi lowo." You know, that is, God has offended me. You remember what I'm saying? He said, God has offended me, and I want to take revenge from people. So the story is told that some guy came, and then he enters a church, a cutlass. He said, God offended me. And I want to take revenge. And before you knew it, everybody was scattering. People were jumping out of the window. People were jumping out of the door. People were crushing themselves to get out of the door. Because somebody was there to take revenge against God. Are you still with me? Where I'm going this morning is that the difficult times, I don't even think we will say that the difficult times will come. We'll say the difficult times are here. You know, Paul can write, perilous times will come in the last days. I think we shouldn't be talking like that. We should say we are in the last days and perilous times are here with us. But the question is, are we doing what the Bible said will happen? Or are we able to stand and say, no, I'm not the one that my love for God, my passion for God will grow cold. I'm the one who still stands strong and passionate about the things of God. Are you there? Listen, it's the only reason why churches are busy coming up with all kinds of gimmicks. We're trying too hard to attract people. Are you getting what I'm saying? We come up with all kinds of shows, all kinds of presentations, all kinds of people. Oh yeah, we even went and started bringing comedians. Because we're trying to encourage Christians to go to church. I remember somebody telling a story once. I don't remember it too accurately, but I think the core of it is still there. He said this guy asked him, I remember a bit more. And it was my pastor. And he was saying when he was in Kano, you know, when you have all the bus services and all of that, and they have bus services that will bring people from all parts of town to church and all that. He said that one day a Muslim asked him, he said, there's something I don't understand. He said, what is it? He said, this person asked him, he said, is it not God that the people are going to serve and to worship? He said, yes, it's God they are going to worship. He said, so why is it that you have to help them? If it's God they say they are going to worship, why do you have to put all of these things to help them? You have to carry them and carry them back and all of that. He said, is it not God? He said, let me look at your neighbor and say, is it not God? So something is definitely wrong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Something is definitely wrong. Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's not talking about you this morning. You know, I've seen people who have said, you know, don't do this, don't do that for me. I don't want it. I'm going to do what I need to do. In fact, a friend of mine was telling me something, which I didn't know. I knew some things happened in their church. I ministered for them recently. And he was telling me something. And he said, you know, because I asked about somebody who had been there, was in leadership. In fact, I remember a remarkable miracle. Remarkable miracle that God did for this person. Remarkable. I'm not saying all of those details so that nobody knows, what I'm saying. But I know, you know, I administered there and God did this remarkable, spectacular miracle. So every time I kept asking him over the time, what happened to this person? Oh, she's no longer with us. What happened to her? He never really would tell me. So this time around, I was ministering and I asked him, I said, so he mentioned somebody else who came to see him. And he said, oh, this person was also there and they all left. So I said, you never told me what happened. He said, yes. He said, I never did. He said, I will tell you, but I know I have been avoiding telling you what happened. So he told me a bit more. But then the real thing that blessed me was that he then told me about somebody else in the church. So he told me, look, all these people just planned and decided and left. He said, but there was this person who also I always ask about. I've known him forever in that place. And I said, what about this person? And he said, you know, when he told me that story, he said, when all of that happened, he said, this guy came to him. And he said, Pastor, I know things are tough. I know things are tough. He said, but because of what happened now, he said, every payment for the venue from now until further notice, I will pay for it. He said, don't take the money from church. I know that the revenues are down. He said, I will pay for it. He said, and I want you to know that for me and my family, this is our church. We are not going anywhere. And I thought, wow, wow, wow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are people who still love God. Are you still with me? So the emphasis, let me go back to it quickly because of time. My emphasis today is that when people grow cold, that's why the Bible used the word grow. Can I hear you say grow? It means that it happens slowly over time. Little by little by little by little. You just decide, I'm not praying one day. I'm not praying 2 days. I haven't prayed 1 week, you know. And then you start getting used to not praying. You start getting used to the fact that you haven't read the Bible. You start getting used to the fact that you are not in church on a Sunday morning, that you are watching TV. You start getting used to the fact that even you are going for football practice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You start getting used to some of those things. I remember again as a child, I remember somebody sharing a testimony. I don't even remember where, but this guy shared a testimony that blessed me. And he talked about the fact that he was being recruited. He was recruited, not being recruited. He was recruited into the national team. And he told them, you know, because they had practice on Sunday. And this guy told them, he said, on Sunday morning, I must go to church. I said, we will kick you out of camp. He said, it's okay. So be it. He said, I will play and play and play every other time. He said, but Sunday morning, you must allow me to go to church. I never forgot it as a child, the commitment of this guy to the fact that he must dedicate himself and stick with his passion for God. Are you there? The problem with backsliding is that it happens, what? Slowly. So this one talks about the love of many will grow cold. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 talks about the fact that we need to be careful. He said, we need to be careful about the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Can I hear you say drift? The word drift means what? It's a slow moving away. So the problem with backsliding is that it happens slowly. Can I hear you say slowly? Now, it's also the mercy of God that very often when change is happening and we are changing for the worse, it happens slowly. It happens slowly so that we can catch ourselves somewhere along the line. It happens slowly sometimes so that there can be a message like this somewhere along the line that stops you in your tracks, that says to you, hey, check yourself. What is it that you used to do? You know, when if you can say, like Job was saying sometime, he said, there was a time when the tabernacle of God was with me. When you can start giving testimonies of, there was a time when I used to pray a lot. There was a time when I used to read the Bible a lot. Those two words, used to, is a red flag. It's telling you something has gone wrong with you. There was a time that, in fact, if morning, daylight cannot see me on my bed, I would have been praying. And there's a problem. Are you there? But it's the mercy of God when it happens slowly. In Matthew chapter 14, you know, that's where Jesus was walking on the water. The disciples had gone off to the other side. He had told them, you know, go to the other side. And they were going. And then there was a storm that arose. And Jesus came and he was walking on the water. Okay? And then, of course, they all thought it was a ghost. And then Peter says, if it is you, bid me to come. And then he says, come. And then Peter begins to walk on that water. Okay? And then the Bible says he lifted his eyes and he saw the winds boisterous. He saw the stormy winds. And then the Bible says something interesting. It says, beginning to sink. He says, I'm beginning to sink. Nobody begins to sink on water. Are you still with me, anybody? You don't begin to sink, you sink. How many people swim here before? How many people swim? Or how many people have tried to swim? You've tried it, but you don't swim. So you're like me. I've tried to swim, but I don't swim. Because I was always sinking. You know, and the one that changed my mind and I totally backslided from swimming was, we had finished exams, final exam, secondary school. I was very excited. We all went out. We went to the swimming pool. I jumped in the pool and I started throwing my legs, as I was sinking. The next thing I knew, my knee hit the floor. Why? They carried me back home. So from that time, I stopped. It's only now in my adult life that I'm saying, I think I will try again. But when you are being with water, even if it's water on a bathtub or water in a swimming pool, you don't walk on the water. You don't begin to sink. If you can't swim, you sink. But the Bible says what? Peter beginning to sink. Meaning, Peter was going down in the water in slow motion. He was going in slow motion. He said, I'm a man. Then the Bible says what? And then he cried for help. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying that the backsliding is dangerous. It's subtle. It's dangerous because it is subtle. It happens slowly. But also, I'm saying that it's the mercy of God that some these bad things happen slowly. Because you can be stopped in your tracks along the way. You can quickly retrace your steps somewhere along the way and say, hey, I used to be like this. Ah, I have changed for the worse. And I need to get right back. You know, many of us know people. I know people that today they are not recognizable for who they were. I know people that years ago when I knew them, I mean they were on fire. When you say fire, I'm talking about people that one day, in fact, I landed in South Africa and I was talking to this man, this professor. We're having lunch and we're talking. It's a Nigerian, we're talking. He also came from Nigeria and we're speaking. And while we were at the table and we're talking, another man came who I think was from another country, wasn't Nigerian, and he wasn't South African, but he was based there. And this man came, greeted the man that I was having lunch with. You know, they greeted familiarly, and then he left. And the man I was with began to tell me, he said, do you know that man? I said, no. He said, that man. The man that came over and sat with us and greeted him very familiarly, and offered to buy, you know, beer, whatever. And when the man left, the other man said, do you know him? I said, no. He said, when they were in higher institution, that the man schooled in Nigeria, he said, that man was the head of a fellowship on campus. I said, eh? He said, yes. He said, not only that, he said, the fire that guy carried. I mean, this person I'm talking about now that was talking to me is older than me. And is somebody that has worked with ministers. He knows many ministers, you know, quite well. He said the fire that guy carried, he has hardly seen it on anybody. I'm talking about, he was talking about this guy years before. He said in those days, when this guy led and pastored their fellowship on campus, he said, if you walk past his door, his room door in the hostel, you can almost fall down just walking past the door. He said, because the guy's prayer life was heavy. He said, the unction was heavy. Do you understand what I'm describing to you? He said, there are times the guy is in the room, he's just praying. If you walk past that door, you will find that you just collapse. And this was the man who was sitting with us, offering beer, offering or what have you. Didn't look anything like the one. So this man was then telling me, that guy you saw is something so totally different today than who he used to be. The Bible predicted it. Are you there? But those changes don't happen overnight. I can tell you more stories, some more horrible than that one that I said. You know, that the things they do that I know personally, people that I know personally. That how they live, the things they do now, completely different. Sometimes you wonder and you say to yourself, does this guy, I wonder if he ever sits down, I'm sure he does anyway. I'm sure he sits down very often and says, how did I get here? Are you with me? Now you might say, no, said man, this is not for me, this message is not for me. Actually, it is for you, it's for all of us. Because when we're in medical school, they will teach us on disease entities. So when they teach you on disease entities, they are going to teach you the pathology of the disease, which is how the disease occurs, what went wrong that caused the disease, how does that disease happen, maybe the epidemiology, you know, which is why, what, where, you know, they'll tell you all of that. They'll tell you how you diagnose the disease, how can you tell this is what is wrong with the person, you know, so you look at all of that. Then they tell you how you treat or manage that disease condition. But it doesn't end there. Usually the last point is to tell you about prevention. Can I hear you say prevention? And then they will tell you that it's better this thing doesn't happen in the first place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's better it doesn't happen in the first place because it's very difficult or it's not actually curable or it causes damages that you never really totally recover from. Almost like when somebody breaks a bone. You know, so why do we struggle? Is it just because of the money for treatment? Why do you struggle and tell the child or anybody, be careful, be careful, be careful, stop jumping like that? Because when he breaks the bone, that bone is never the same strength as it was originally. I mean, it's almost like what you get in metals or whatever. If you break the thing and you can weld it back or whatever, but that place is no longer as strong as it was without that breaking it in the first place. So can I hear you say prevention? So my real aim this morning is to go and look at that prevention and say, what do I need to do to ensure that I'm not a fulfillment of negative prophecy, especially about backsliding? Because it can happen to anybody. Are you there? There's somebody else that I like very much. I like him very much. I'm not mentioning his name either. It's a globally well-known spiritual leader. But he went away from God. Thank God for restoration. But not everybody gets so lucky or blessed, whatever word you want to use for it. Are you hear what I'm saying? And that's why you should never, ever drift away in the first place. But I remember this guy, and apparently drifted away. Unique anointing. That's why I like him. Unique anointing, unique calling. The way God uses him, absolutely unique. And the people God sent him to, absolutely unique. And I mean that, I mean every word that I'm saying. And he went away, drifted away. He said he was with some lady, had traveled somewhere with some lady, not his wife, if I wasn't married, but he was with some lady, some girlfriend, you know, and all of that. And he said it so happened, it was outside of the U.S., so happened that the hotel where he was in, Kenneth Copeland, was there. He said, and they met in the lobby. He said the good thing, of course, Copeland knew him and all that. Copeland just walked up to him and said, how are you, you know, and just greeted him and said, we miss you. He said, your space is still empty. Nobody has filled it. And that is very true. That's why I told you that when you say unique, even me, I know that guy is, I mean, of course, God, when, what's his name, said, I'm the only one. God said there are 7,000 more, but at least the one we can see, oh, that guy. He said from that place, he told the lady, bye-bye. And that's how he was restored. Copeland went to him, he said, we miss you. The body of Christ misses you. He said, and you had that space that you filled, still empty. Are you still with me? Prevention. So I'm talking about somebody that, what's it called? Somebody that people, Benny Hinn, T.D. Jakes, looked up to. He was ministering to thousands when T.D. Jakes was unknown. What's his name now? Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen was, how do you call it? Trying to, you understand, he preached for Joel Osteen's father. And he became mentor to Joel Osteen. And yet he drifted away. Are you with me? So let's talk about prevention. So what do we do? Number one, go over the things that you have been taught before or you have known before again and again and again and again. That also says to you in a sense, don't become too familiar with the truth. Okay, don't become that kind of person that sits in church and somebody says, I'm going to speak about faith. Mark 11:23, oh yeah, I know it. And then you quote it and say, and then you switch off. You know, what can they say that is new? Be the kind of person that wants to hear it again. Are you hear what I'm saying? That sits like you have never heard it before. You want to hear it all over again. I was saying it to you the other day that virtually every scripture that somebody mentions, I want to open it and read it again. I've read the Bible through several times. But when somebody mentions a scripture, I want to read it again. I want to look at it again. You know, Copeland said sometime he was believing God for healing. And it looked like the healing wasn't really coming. You know, it's like something is just lingering. Something is wrong with you. You are believing God. You are confessing the word. And it looks like it's not happening. He said, and he had to go to God. He said, God, what's going on? It doesn't usually take me this long. He said, and God told him. God said, you know what? You are depending on memory. He said, the memory of a potato never failed anybody.
He says, so open that scripture, all those scriptures you are quoting and all of that. He said, open them again and read them again and again and again and again. Remember Matthew 4:4, Luke 4:4 says the word of God is like bread, isn't it? So the memory of bread doesn't fill you. It takes the action of feeding on it again and again and again. Are you hearing me this morning? Don't become a stay light. You know those stay lights in the church? Oh, I know that one. Oh, he preached that one two and a half years ago. I know it. He even told this story about K. No. So what does that do for you? Are you hearing me? Somebody once told Egan. He said, look, when will you stop teaching faith? And this Mark 11:23, when are you going to stop? Egan said, when you get it. So the fact that you have heard it again and again doesn't mean you got it. Do you get all of your prayers answered? Are you an expert at faith with results? So you go over it again and again and again. Can I hear you say again and again? Open to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. Let's look at a few scriptures very quickly. That's not the time, is it? I've just started though. Are you still with me? Can we go on till 1? It's still raining. There's no going anywhere. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1. It says, therefore, we must give the what? More earnest heed. Now, you see, that's the beauty of actually reading it again and again. I referred to it, but I didn't read it. So, in not reading it, I did not emphasize what I should have emphasized. You know, so it didn't just say go over what you have heard before. It said do what? Give the more earnest heed. What does that mean? Pay even closer attention to what you have heard, to what you have known. Okay, all this, I'm looking for something new. He said the one that you thought you knew. Give it even more attention than ever. Can you see what I'm talking about? What you thought that you knew, what you thought that you remembered, what you thought that you have in your hand, is that one, give it the more earnest heed, give it even more attention than the new one that you think you need to hear. Okay? So therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Okay, lest we move away. Go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. I think Psalm 1 highlights something very beautiful that I want us to see. Okay, Psalm 1 from verse 1 tells us also that moving away is progressive. Okay, and it deals also with the antidote. Remember, we are now talking about prevention. So from Psalm 1 verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Now, I remember one day when, again, that's the beauty of going over scriptures. I've read this how many times in my life? Only God knows. But one day I was reading it again with an open mind, asking the Holy Spirit to speak to me, asking him to teach me. And it occurred to me, struck me in my heart, that this was a progression. He was showing you a progressive degradation. It was showing progressive backsliding. It was showing somebody that was moving away from God in phases. And the truth is, I meditated on that for a while, and I thought to myself, really, is that so? Is that correct? And one day I was listening to Pastor Adeboye, and he was teaching the same, and I said, oh, really? I said, really? I thought maybe I was stretching the truth of God's word, but it's correct. Are you with me? It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So where does the man start his backsliding from? He's listening to counsel that is not godly. He's taking advice that is not godly. He's giving attention to the rationale of men without God. They're saying, God can't be so wicked. God can't be a terrible God. If he was a good God, why would he send people to hell? Are you there? Oh, one of the movies my wife recommended and I watched it. But I knew the man's story before. So when he told me, oh, have you ever heard of this person? I said, yes, because I read a lot of biographies. And I said, yes, I know him. He's still alive. I said, I know him. And in fact, he had an album, a musical album, back in the days. That was amazing. When I used to play it, I can remember, I can view myself where I was. In fact, it was Pastor Israel Abiera that got that album. And we used to play it in his car. And when he, you know, it's like a crescendo. You get, sorry, that's music term. Abi, musicians, you know crescendo. When you go, and it takes you up like that. You know, you just listen. You get to a point where the beat and everything, it's like you fly. So I can't forget that guy. The unction, amazing. And then he had a church. He was a bishop. Or he's a bishop. Had a church. Big church, mega church. Loved. He was mentee to, what's his name? Oral Roberts. Graduated from Oral Roberts University. And the movie's called Come Sunday. So if you want to go watch it. What? Come Sunday. I'm not saying his name, but again, I've said enough. But it's in the public space. So you can go look for it and you'll see everything I'm saying. And then this guy, all of a sudden, one day, because of events, things that happened around him, you know, his uncle particularly, you know, something that happened. And then he began to change his theology. God can't be so evil that he will allow or send people to hell just because of this or that. That's how his theology changed. And he began to preach that in his church. And everybody, or a robot called him, said, no. He said, look, Robert said, I have been through things myself, including the fact that most people don't know. Or Robert's son committed suicide. He had a son that killed himself, and I think it was because the guy was gay. He said, look, when that happened to him, he said he had a lot of questions. He questioned a lot of things. He talked to God about a lot of things. He said, but I arrived still at the conclusion, God is still God and God is still good. He said, this thing that you are going through, you need to deal with it. But the guy didn't listen. Anyway, eventually he lost everything that he had. What am I talking about? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. The counsel of the ungodly is the one that just brings you your reason. It's reasonable. You know, there are many people who listen to talk shows. Are you with me?
I like Oprah. Very wise.
I'm not saying they are not wise, so. But I'm saying be careful. Whenever anything said contradicts the word of God, please shut it down immediately. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
That was a very popular popular person in this country who got divorced recently. And then they interviewed her. She said, yeah. When it's not working, you just have to admit it's not working, and that's the end of the matter. You know, you need to just walk. And I thought, wow, how much damage has she just done? Because some people will take their credit from that and say, yeah, when it's not working, just walk out. I said, that's ungodly counsel. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's ungodly counsel. But people are paying attention to it. So he said, when you start listening, you start thinking about what is said. You know, that's how the devil played it from Genesis chapter 1. As God said. It's only because he knows when you eat this fruit, you become wise and this and that. And that's why, and then you start reasoning around those things. So blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of your godly, nor stands in the path of sinners. So he moves to phase 2. He's not just listening. He stands in the path of sinners. Now he's standing where they are standing. He can be found there. He's not just taking and listening to their things. He's standing there. In fact, if you look at it in the Amplified, it says he's there, submissive and inactive. Meaning he's not even doing participating, but he's there with them. He's getting closer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then ultimately, he says he then sits in the seat of the scornful. You know the scornful? The scornful means those that now begin to laugh at God. So he didn't get to where he begins to laugh at God and say, me too, I used to believe that nonsense. When they say, the Bible says, I used to believe it like that too before. I used to believe it like that. And you know, but now I become wiser. No, you become foolish. Are you hearing me? Well, we're talking prevention. Verse 2 talks about prevention. He says, but what? His delight is in the law of the Lord. What of the Lord? His delight is in the law of the Lord. When your delight is in God's laws, it means that you spend time in God's word. Are you hearing me? It means that you, I mean, just what you delight in, you spend time in. Okay? You delight in movies. So you spend time watching plenty. Are you still there? You've gone quiet. I'm stepping on toes. Why? Because it questions what you love, isn't it? And we say, I love the Lord. I'm not sure. Let's divide out your time and see what you do with it. The moment we can break it down, we'll discover what you love. Abi? We'll discover what your delight is. So my delight is in God's law. So I have free whatever. Actually, any device I have, from laptop to phone to whatever, I can access the Bible. I can access God's word in any form, on any device, because my delight is in the law of the Lord. And I am still telling myself that I need that law. I need an infusion, I dose infusion, in order to keep myself steady. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I mean, I'm just like Paul, who after all what he did and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, says, look, I am still pursuing what lies ahead. So I'm still thinking to myself, I need a lot of God's word. So constantly, I'm in the kitchen, I'm in the room, and I'm playing a message. I can play it almost from any device. So number one prevention is what? Go over what you have known or what you have been taught. Give it the more earnest heed. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 talks about what? Faith comes by hearing and hearing. So your faith is stirred when you keep hearing. It's what? Future continuous. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Another one says faith goes by having heard. Therefore, I be. Proverbs 19, I believe, verse 27. He said, when you stop listening to my commands, my son, he said, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Stop listening to my words, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. Meaning that the fact that you just cease listening to instruction, the moment you cease that inflow, there's nothing like I have filled up enough. Ah, I've read the Bible 500 times. I don't need to read it again. I'm sorry for you. Are you still here? Okay, let's try to wrap it up quickly. No, but look at Psalm 1. Let me just look at that in the Amplified. Is it Amplified or which one now? Yes, I think it is. Or the easier one, where we look at both. ERV. It says, great blessings belong to those who don't listen to evil advice. Great blessings, that's the ERV now, belong to those who don't listen to good advice, who don't live like sinners, and who don't join to make fun of God. See the progression. The Amplified says, blessed, happy, fortunate, prosperous, and enviable is the man who walks and lives not in the counsel of the ungodly, that is, following their advice, their plans and purposes, nor stands, that is, submissive and inactive, in the path where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest, where the scornful and the mockers gather. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Prevention. Go over what? Again and again and again. Number two, be intentional about the influences you expose yourself to. And I hear you say be intentional. So be intentional about the influences that you expose yourself to. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Actually, Proverbs chapter 12 first. Proverbs chapter 12. Trying to see how I can wrap up quickly. Proverbs chapter 12. Somebody said your message is best when you preach it by the time you are preaching it the third time. So the first time is practice. Yeah, we're still cooking it. Amen. So now I'm rushing, you see, because the timing is off. He said, but by the third time, the thing is cooked well. Proverbs chapter 12, are you there? Look at verse 26. Now, I'm talking about influences in general. Okay? Influences in general. That's actually why I wanted to read 1 Corinthians 15, 33, which I think I'll just quote now. 1 Corinthians 15, 33 says what? Be careful. It says, for evil communication corrupts good manners. I like the word communication. because that expands it a little bit for us, isn't it? Many translations now just say evil friends, okay? But I prefer the King James that says evil communication. Can I hear it say evil communication? It means anything communicating with you. Anything at all communicating with you. So it's a radio program, it's communicating, isn't it? It's saying something to you. It's a TV program, it's saying something to you. It's a newspaper, it's saying something to you. It's even the news on TV or radio or whatever, it's saying something to you. It says evil communication corrupts good manners. Meaning you will be corrupted if you stay exposed to evil in any form. And that evil communication can also be coming from friends, for sure. Are you with me? Remember, we're talking about prevention. How do I prevent my progressive backsliding? The occurrence of progressive backsliding. I need to be intentional about the influences in my life. That's why I'm reading Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26. He said what? The righteous should choose his friends carefully. Can I hear you say carefully? Meaning you are intentional. You are not just friends with people anyhow. You are actually intentional. I know we use the word friends very loosely. Okay? But the Bible talks about a friend is born for adversity. A friend is somebody who's rather close to you, basically. So it's not everybody you know. It's not everybody you greet. It's not everybody you talk to. Okay? But the people that are closest to you, the people that speak to your life, the people that, when they are around you, you really bond. He says, the righteous must choose them carefully. Don't just allow it to happen. You need to sometimes sit. I was listening to a minister many years ago, well-known figure. And he was talking about his habit. I won't talk about that. I think that would say who he is. You know, but basically, he was talking about his habit at the start of the year. And he had come to minister in this place. So I was listening to him. And he said one of the things that he had to do, you know, this year, that year that he was preaching, was that he had to cut off from another minister. When he said it, I thought, he didn't mention the name, but I thought I knew who he was talking about. And he said he been waiting on God that year, he felt God telling him, watch the influence. And he had to intentionally cut off. He said the guy realized later that it looks like this man has pulled away from him. He said, and because it's true. He said, because God showed him that, look, every time you're with this person, what do? You spend all the time criticizing everybody else. A lot of, animosity, a lot of... He said, so what happens to you when you leave him? You feel dry. Nothing edifying. And God told him, if you're asking me for the increase of grace, unction, and all of that on your life, like you're asking me, he said, this is one of the things you need to do. You need to cut that person off. Are you there? And I tell my children, I say, look, when you say peer influence, it's not just for children or teenagers. I say, it's for us adults too. You know, because sometimes when I'm telling them and the way they'll be looking at you, I say, look, what I'm telling you is for me as well. Even now, at this stage, at this age, I still cut people off. I still watch people that I don't get close to, even though I have all access to them. But I don't use that access because I've told myself, this person will be a bad influence. And for those who knew me, even from years ago, they say, this guy is very difficult to influence him. But there's nobody that can be influenced. That's the truth of the matter. It may be true that I may not be as easy to influence as other people. I said, but it is not true that I can't be influenced. Anything that makes you go back home and you sit down and you start thinking, you know, and I tell them, you know, for instance, when you deal with other things, inanimate objects, inanimate things, you know, movies and all of that. I said, you know, when you watch, in those days, you watch Superman, you watch Jackie Chan, you watch Bruce Lee. I said, suddenly you find out that for the next 2 days, you are Bruce Lee in your head. You are doing like this. I said, what's that called? Influence. It's done something to your brain. So you are imagining yourself doing this, doing that, you know. And there are people who have been known to have tied blanket and they jumped off because they watched Superman. There are the real people who have done it. They flew off a bed or something and just jumped and they break an arm. I said, but it's called influence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The writer should choose what? Their influences. Be intentional about the influences. There are certain things that influence you to godliness, influence your passion for God, and there are certain things that do not. Cut away the things that do not. And be intentional about going after the things that inflame that passion for God and the things of God. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
You know, it's one of the reasons why there's church, isn't it? It's so that when you come, even when you are feeling as cold as ice water, you see some other people, the way they are worshiping God, the way they are lifting their hands, the way they are kneeling down before Him, and you are saying to yourself, I want to be like that. What's happening to you? That thing is stirring something in you. That's why Hebrews 10 talks about the fact that don't forsake, 24. He says so that we will remember to influence or to provoke one another. Are you hearing me? That's why Psalm 92 talks about the fact that planted in the house of the Lord, they flourish. You know, when you're intentional about it, there are certain things that you just don't joke with. There's some things that should not be an option in your life. It shouldn't be an option whether you wake up to read the Bible or not. It should be as regimented as the fact that when you wake up, you are going to brush your teeth. How many people don't brush their teeth? Are you hearing me? How many people stop and you pray, Lord, should I brush my teeth today? Or, let's not even spiritualize it. You stand there and you say, today is Tuesday. I brushed last night too. Should I brush? How many people do that? Even when the toothpaste is almost finished. Then you say, maybe I should keep it for tomorrow. Huh? So it's just clear. This is what I'm going to do. The things of God need to be that settled with you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't need to think about it. Am I going to church? That's not a question. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Will you be in church next week? That's an insult. Why should they ask you that question? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It must be that you are sick or almost dead. That they didn't see you. You couldn't even get up from the bed. But that they are asking you, will you be in church next week? What's ordinarily? Nothing has happened. You haven't said anything. You didn't say you were traveling. And then they say, will you be in church? They are insulting you. That's the way you should feel about it. That me. They are asking if I will be. Can you ask me that kind of question? I can't remember when it didn't occur to me that I have to be in church. I can't remember that. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if you must prevent it, there are certain things that must be sacrosanct in your life. Certain things must just be there. They are just things you live by, you do. You don't think twice. Why? Because you have been intentional about the influences in your life. Lastly, cry for help. Okay? Cry for help. There are times people go through things and they don't want to say anything to anybody. I was referring to Matthew chapter 14 earlier. The Bible says Peter, beginning to sink, shouted to Jesus, help. Help! Just one word. Help! And sometimes you just need to shout for help. I don't know what's happening to me. Please, will you call me when you are going to church? Please, will you check on me? You know, don't shout for help. Don't keep quiet. I remember some guy then, when we were in the university, he told me one day, he said, you know, every time you go out, he asked me, how do you pray? When do you pray? So I told him, he said, please, whenever you are going, wake me up. I want to go with you. What was he saying? Help. He was saying, I'm not sure I can do it by myself. I've gone so far away from God. I'm struggling, but I want to get back to God. He said, just wake me up. Whenever you're going, wake me up. Please wake me up. I want to go. We need to cry out for help. All this I can do it by myself. What has it fetched you? I'm dealing with the matter by myself. How? How? You stop praying? You stop going to church? Of course, fasting is not in the register. It's deleted. Now you are even beginning to wonder if God exists. And you say, I'm dealing with it by myself. How? Are you with me? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Actually, I've not finished my series, and this is still part of it. My series on life is about relationships. That's where I stopped, isn't it? So we'll still continue that one, but I believe God wanted us to say this today. Are you with me? Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Let's stand on our feet so you know that I'll close and I won't take you till 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Look at it in verse 9. It says, well, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Are you still there? So people sit at home and they say, I'm not being judged. And nobody asked after me. Cry for help. Are you getting what I'm saying? I've been going through stuff. They didn't look for me. Well, we'll try to look for you. Or you call people and say, I'm going through stuff. I need help. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I need help. Don't wait for them to look for you. You cry for help because you care about yourself and about your own survival, about your own walk with God. You care about it. So you cry for help first. If they find you first, thank God. But if they don't, you cry for help. And let them know I'm here. I need help. Take a moment and just talk to God this morning. And say, Lord, my passion for you, let it grow stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Set me on fire for you. Let me be as excited about you as I used to be. Even more excited than before. That excitement will drive you out, giving testimonies to people, preaching the gospel to people. You just have the spring in your steps. That song said, take me back. Take me back. You remember that song? Take me back. When I first loved you. And many people need to cry and say, God, take me back to that place. Take me back to that place. You know the song? Take a mic and sing. Take me back. Have it?
Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place.
Just pray from the depth of your heart. Pray from the depth of your heart. And as you do, the Holy Ghost will begin to put his fingers on areas of your life. Things you need to do afresh. Things you need to recommit to.
Lord, where I first believe.
Sorry, just a moment. You know, I discovered that people don't have problems with many things. You know, I like simple things. And I've discovered that the problem with most people can be boiled down to just one point. Your love for God. That's all. If you love God as you should, giving is not a problem. Abi? Paul told the Corinthians, said they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So it's not about us. He said they were given because they had given themselves to God. Just the love of God. The love of God ensures evangelism is natural for you. You just talk about Jesus. The love of God ensures that you love your neighbor. Because he said you can't love the person you can't see. If you love the person you can't see, loving the person you can see becomes easy. So I've discovered that is the love of God that is the problem of most people. We've grown cold. When that love of God is burning as it should, most of the problems are no problems. The love of God ensures that sin, you walk away from sin. Because you don't want to disappoint God. So you see sin, you say, but God, and you walk away from it. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for setting our hearts ablaze this morning. Thank you, because the altar burns with fire afresh in every life. In the name of Jesus. We present our lives a living sacrifice this morning. Thank you, because even though living, we will stay on that altar of sacrifice. We will keep ourselves there and not walk away. In the name of Jesus, we will not drift away. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.